deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 50 of Flashpoint. Well, that sounds a bit dramatic and exciting, and that's probably about as exciting as a podcast will get, but it is 50, and it is a milestone, and I've got three wonderful people here to celebrate it with. We'll go in order of recency. So we're really pleased to have back with us Matthew Scope-Pierce. Matthew, how are you, mate?
G'day. Yeah, I'm going good.
Good. I think it was about, three episodes ago? Four episodes we had you on?
I think, yeah. Two or three or something.
It's been too long. Anyway, so thanks for coming for this very august occasion. And then, Christy, how are you in 33 degree Perth?
Well, I've got chocolate biscuits here to celebrate the 50th episode. So if I go a little weird, it's because I got Sugar Rush. Excellent. They're mint ones too. Would you like one?
You better eat them before they melt.
Yeah, exactly. They're already on my fingers.
So thank God for the mute button. Unless all those people... See, if we had a live chat room, we could take a poll whether people want to hear chewing noises on the podcast.
I was thinking more the smacking noises of me licking my fingers.
And last but definitely not least, a guy that's been making chewing noises alongside me since episode 22. Simon, how are you?
Are you referring to the scenery that I keep gnawing on?
Oh, look, we've all had some fun with sound effects, although none of us have farted. That has been captured on audio anyway.
That you've heard.
That we've heard, that's right.
And I am so grateful for that.
And yes. Speaking of farts or more oral farts, Ed was meant to join us tonight as well as the man that started episode one alongside me back in March 2011, but he's having some Skype issues. And so let me know 24 hours ago he wasn't going to be able to make it. So I think that's either he is having Skype issues or he's moved on, and who can blame him. So that's the four of us. I thought before we launched into Republic News, we just have a little bit of applause for the fact that we've reached 50. And then I thought we might do a bit of a retrospective of the highlights, not of this podcast so much because that could get boring in about 90 seconds flat, but just since March 2011 when we started with episode one, what the highlights of MMOs have been, and getting a thought from each of you. But let's start with the podcast, and I'll go in order of seniority this time. Simon, since you joined us, well, you joined us in episode 22 as a guest co-host and then came aboard in episode 24, Rise of the Shlongs, which I thought was very appropriate. Any highlights at all since episode 24 to now?
I'm kind of uncomfortable with the whole title, Rise of the Shlongs. where did that come from?
I haven't listened to it there because for those that have listened for a while, every title comes from something that's said in the podcast. So somewhere, Rise of the Shlongs have been mentioned. I don't know.
I'm going to blame Ed, but it was probably...
Yeah, it probably was.
Yeah. Highlights. Well, I think The chat we had with Stephen Reed and the Parkland conversation with Joel Bylos, they were the top two things. That was star material, that was.
And which I violently agree with you, and it shows you that we probably don't deliver that much value as a guest host and make the podcast once every 20 episodes.
Well, you don't want to spoil people.
Yeah, the Stephen Reed one, I think, yeah, that was great because he actually gave out some information that we weren't expecting, and it did drive a whole bunch of discussion over the subsequent weeks, which was good. But yeah. Joel was a hell of a lot of fun. And we, I just, pinged Joel on Skype about 2 minutes before we started recording with no notice, hoping that he's A, up and B, interested in talking, saying, hey, do you want to jump on the podcast? And I've had no response. And again, I can't blame him. So, Simon,
you really can't.
No. Aside from the two guest hosts, there are no other highlights, even of history that you witnessed that you discussed on the podcast? Ed's evil laugh?
Well, we do miss that.
No, we don't. No, we really don't. The funeral for Ed's evil laugh, that's definitely worth drinking to, so allow me to do that right now. That's very refreshing. I would say that was it. I mean, we've covered it. I just had a think, and that was it. That was it. They're the highlights.
Oh, that's gold.
Moving on.
Excellent. Christy, I mean, you've been with us for a while now. I actually didn't look up the episodes, but my guess is half a dozen.
Oh, I don't know. They all sort of blend into one another. Yeah.
So there won't be any highlights for you either.
The highlight is me.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I've had fun. It's great. It's a nice way to spend a Sunday evening every 2 weeks, and I get to, you know, talk about games. And I don't seem to have enough friends to do that with. Well, they kind of ignore me now, probably because I talk about games too much and because I blabble like I am now. So.
Yeah. Good gaming friends like that, but I know where you're coming from.
I am totally, utterly jealous, though, of you guys, of Joel. I'm like, oh, if we can get him back on the show, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'll definitely work on that. We'll talk about other guests because we'll certainly keep doing that going forward. Now, Matthew, I know this is only the second time you joined us, but I believe you listened to us for a while before then. So are there any highlights that stick up for you?
Well, Stephen Reed was definitely one of them. I mean,
why'd you go back that far?
Oh yeah, I was with him for a while. Not with him, no, not at all. That would be awkward.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, no.
Be an interesting story though.
No, but it was a time in Star Wars: The Old Republic's timeline where Australian information was very starved, and having him on the podcast was a good refreshment. For information, I think, and that's probably my biggest highlight from the show.
Yeah, and memory, the thing that caused the most stir was he mentioned that the LFG tour would be cross server.
Yeah,
and that caused an enormous debate on the official forums and elsewhere. So, and it ended up not being. Am I right in that?
Exactly. Yeah. It was just server only.
Yeah. So.
They wanted to promote community instead of, like, say, World of Warcraft, where it was less so.
Yeah. So, well, enough navel-gazing. I just want to finish off with some thank yous. So I probably have to start with Ed, even though he's too much of a bastard to turn up tonight. Ed was the guy silly enough to agree to start up the podcast with myself, and we had some fun. And Ed certainly developed a following, and it was what would you call it, a polarized following?
Well, I was always under the impression. Well, I think it was more like the Pitchforks and Burning Brands kind of following.
I confess I was one of them.
Yeah, he definitely engendered that. And Ed, I do hope you're listening to this, and I'm talking with the assumption that you will hear this, that he definitely had his detractors, but also as many people that really enjoyed his take on things, and particularly his lore updates, because he certainly put a lot of work into that, and it was much appreciated. And so, Ed, this isn't a funeral for Ed, as far as I'm sure he will be back at some stage. But, yes, thank you, Ed. Also, a big thank you to you, Simon, because... you're the John Laws of this podcast, and I think I've said that before, as far as the golden tonsils. But you've got probably twice the IQ. Well, actually, maybe I'm insulting you. I've just accused you of having an IQ of 80. He's been silent. He's perfect. And I'd like to thank you silences over the last 22 episodes.
I have more hair and considerably less money than him.
Yeah, true. And you are better looking. It's a pretty low base to work from, but you are better looking.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for that.
Are we going off the Skype profile picture here? Because
very good
I agree.
Looking eyebrow.
Yeah.
Well, you mean Deadpool? That's what I'm seeing anyway.
I see an eye with an eyebrow.
Oh, there you go.
I updated it.
Oh, okay.
No, so, you're... Yeah, never mind. No, moving
Simon,
on.
Simon, I never fail to get positive feedback after every episode about your contribution, so thank you.
Oh, I'm sure I'll disappoint this time, though.
No, I doubt it.
To celebrate.
I didn't realise we got feedback. Is there like a little performance review?
Oh, no. It's just it tends to be ad hoc mentions in emails and then our ever-present listener, Gail, who I'll inadvertently thank now because she does listen to every single episode and gives good feedback. So she loves Simon. And she loves you too, Christy. And she thought you did a great job, Matthew, on the last one you're on. So essentially, she's the recruiter, really. And I think Gail sort of might have been in the Pitchfork Brigade for Ed, but appreciated the knowledge he brought. And I can picture Gail laughing right now. So, yes, thank you, Simon. Thank you, Christy. And, yeah, again, the feedback's been nothing but positive. And who else do I have to thank? My mum?
Did you thank Matthew?
Oh, Matthew, it goes without saying. But see, he's a newcomer.
I'm the newbie.
So he hasn't got enough runs on the board for me to get too mushy.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. That was mushy? Wow, your wife must be ecstatic.
Yeah, they say that romance is dead.
Exactly. So, no, thanks. I feel like I should thank sponsors, except we've got none. I'd like to thank my web host.
Thank the future ones.
Yeah, I'd like to thank my web host, but they suck. Actually, you know who we'll thank? PowerPress, the WordPress plugin PowerPress, which is free and allows podcasts to be easily published online. I do have to thank them because they don't cost a cent and they do a great, great job. So I think they deserve a plug.
And I'd like to thank Typefrag for letting me pay them for that chat channel that we've never used.
Oh, yeah, because, all right.
I'm still paying $4 a month for it.
We'll talk about that after the show. Simon did have the very inspired idea that we're going to take this to video, and why didn't we never do it? We just never got it organised, did we?
Couldn't be asked, I think, basically, the best way to cover that.
Yeah.
Wait, video?
I'd have to shave.
Yeah, and there's all that. And
as in webcams?
Yeah.
Oh.
Could use my phone.
You guys would like see my terrible facial expressions, my overdramatic arm movements, and you'd be like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, I know.
No. Yes, we would like to see that, yes.
And my artificial eyes.
I'd have to put clothes on.
And clothes, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, my artificial eye puts people off because it doesn't move properly. And, yeah, there's all sorts of issues with it. And Ed, I won't even go there.
Oh, God, imagine seeing the evil laugh.
Well, he's got artificial ears. I'm not sure whether I should have disclosed that.
But sort of and his Jedi robe, of course.
Yeah, actually, yeah. And Ed, if you're listening, I still have that picture. And Simon, I think you saw it too. You've seen the picture of Ed and his Jedi robe.
I was most impressed.
So anyway, enough reminiscing about the podcast. So just the last thing I thought we'd do is look back to March 2011 as far as MMOs and what you think's happened across the industry. So is it an area that's growing, stagnating, declining? What were the highlights game-wise? Just generally your opinions. And I'll start with you, Matthew, this time.
Well, pretty much I've just been seeing a huge shift towards free-to-play, which is both a good and a bad thing. I mean, there's two sides to every coin. I mean, on the upside, I can play heaps of games and I don't have to put down any money. I mean, whereas originally when it was more of a subscription-based MMO style type game like WoW and the Starter Tour and other subscription MMOs, you know, you'd only usually play one game. But now with free-to-play, I find myself having, you know, 5 to 10 games and then having to sit down at the computer and go, which one am I going to play now, you know? So the free-to-play change is definitely an interesting one for me.
That's actually a great point. I think I'd love to devote a whole episode of the podcast to that issue, actually, about playing multiple MMOs and is it possible? Although I think I think yes. all of us on this podcast have demonstrated that we probably aren't capable of playing multiple MMOs, but it'd be a great discussion point.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anything else, Matthew, beyond that? Oh, I mean, that's a great point. That covers it nicely.
No, pretty much. Yeah. Just free-to-play has been one of the main things I've noticed about the industry side of MMOs in the last few years, though. So, you know, that's the main thing I'm noticing. You know, I thought WoW was going to take a big hit, which it did, but then the expansion came out and, you know, that's lifted it back up. But most of those numbers are from the Asian player base. So I'm not too sure about the Western player base of WoW and whether or not that's growing or shrinking again. But, yeah.
Yeah, my vibe is stagnant to slightly shrinking, but, yeah, it's hard to judge.
I know Tor had some really good growth at free-to-play, but right now I think it's going back down. At least on the server that I'm on Master Denala. I think the PvP Oceanic one.
Oh yeah,
it's getting really hard for me to keep logging back in when there's just not enough people to play with. You know, I mean, my guild was going good. I was getting some good player numbers in, but now after the kind of like freshness of free to play is blown over, people are kind of like, I don't know if they're leaving because they're just like, oh, I don't really want to pay for this, or free to play is too limiting, or you know, we're just not holding enough people. Either that or they're going to the American servers, and like in some of the Q&As with some of the lead developers of BioWare, they had the nerve to say the servers are booming, and then we look at the Oceanic servers like, but anyway, that's my little rant on the Oceanic servers. I'm just waiting for their either transfers or a big merge, hopefully.
Yeah, agreed. Christy?
Ooh, highlights. Mine would probably be more that it, like, March 2011, shit, that was so long ago. I remember going to 2012 thinking there was going to be no MMOs released, and I'm like, there's nothing to look forward to. How am I going to survive? Well, besides Guild Wars 2, I guess, but even back then they didn't have a release date, and then Terra came, and The Secret World came, and it was like, too many MMOs. Mm. And then all these MMOs went free-to-play, like Ion, and oh, it was glorious. I want another 2012. And, yeah, because we need more MMO launches. I love MMO launches. They let me do absolutely nothing for a whole weekend and eat crap and stay up for 26 hours at a time. It's awesome.
Damn.
Yeah, I doubt we'll have another 2012, but, I mean, there's a few, and we're about to talk about a couple of them tonight, but... Yeah, I still think it's going to be a fairly active year.
Yeah, I like The Secret World. That one snuck up on me. I sort of heard about it, nothing. And then the week before release, suddenly I spent $200 and woof, another MMO launch. And it's been great since. So we need more of The Secret Worlds. Mm. There's like no anticipation. So I didn't feel disappointed or, you know, frustrated at the lack of launch dates. It just, poof, it was there and it was awesome.
Exactly. Simon. Come on, do it for the record.
Yes.
Simon, what were the highlights for you?
Well, March, what was it, 18 months ago, so Rift had only recently launched, and that was the king of the hill, absolutely, as I recall. And I successfully completely ignored it because I was busy trying to work out what was going on with Star Wars and anticipating it.
And anticipating.
I mean, even though I was in the closed beta, you really had no idea what was going on from 1 week to the next.
No.
Interesting experience, though. But as far as highlights go, yeah, I would have to say just the complete shift in the industry landscape to free to play. Although I wish we could stop using the words or the term free to play, because invariably most of the games that have gone free to play in inverted commas aren't, because they still offer a subscription. So it's freemium. So the hybrid model is definitely the one that's really swept the industry, and it's been a good thing, really. Although we're never going to get any solid numbers out of BioWare as to how the game's going, I think it's fair to say that it's going pretty well. Despite the fact that we've got a bit of a problem with the Oceanic servers, and Matthew, what you said about PvP is absolutely spot on, because that's the server type that Star Wars: The Old Republic just cannot maintain population on. I've had a look at what's going on in periodically have a look at the European and the North American servers, and you can pretty much guarantee that where the RP and the PvE servers are chugging away quite happily, the ones that are always going to be with a lower population invariably are PvP. And I think it's because, as we all know, the PvP sucks.
Ill.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Ill. Illum is ill. And I'm looking forward to see what they do with the whole griefing. That should be interesting. The mysterious ship appearing over the planet, although I'm hoping that that's not the whole part of it, because the way BioWare have been eking things out, the ship appears in one update and then an update later is where something actually happens.
Like an event. It's kind of like the Rakul event thing, as far as I've understood what I've read of it.
Yeah, they
Only
might do
better,
it.
Better, hopefully.
Well, no, the
Rakul was the better
was
of the two.
Yeah, that was, I think, generally really highly appreciated.
Yeah, true.
It was the whole...
I can't remember the name of.
The event that shall not be named, because I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
I still think the game is going to blossom. That was one of the problems with it. You look at the Secret World and you look at how Star Wars Gone. Star Wars had way too many high expectations, which, and we'll talk about this later, makes me wonder how Elder Scrolls is going to go as well, because that's also going to have massively high expectations on it. As opposed to the Secret World, where there really wasn't much in the way of expectations, and that snuck up on people. And that's doing well now as well. It's finding its audience, and it's got a lot of things sorted out. We know Star Wars is doing better than it was because they've started hiring people again.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. So that's definitely indicates that the cash shop is working. And I've got to admit, even though I'm subbing, I have actually spent money and bought additional cartel coins.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, okay. But not to buy packs. I will mention that. It's to buy specific items, not to buy the scratchies. Not interested in the scratches. Definitely not. I think I've completely buggered up the talking point as far as highlights.
That's good. Freemium models and,
The influx of the freemium model. Anything else? I have to admit, I quite like the model that Firefall have been using as well, as far as getting backers and getting promotion, in that they're basically sort of running their own Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a really clever way to do it. And I can't help wondering if it might not be worth doing, because there's a number of things. Let's face it, we've all got our pet features we want in Star Wars, in the Old Republic, to appear. And I'm wondering if it wouldn't be an idea to do an in-game Kickstarter or maybe actually bring gambling into the casino on Nar Shaddaa and bet real money on it. There's got to be other revenue raisers they can bring in. Excuse my clock. It's making an appearance again.
I forgot to thank the clock.
Yeah, I forgot to turn the clock off. Never mind.
I can't hear it, actually.
Can you?
No.
All right, never mind. Forget I said anything. You might want to just cut in a sound effect of more applause, perhaps.
I'm not going to cut this out, so keep going.
Yeah, right. But the cartel coins have done well. It's clear that that's been a really good revenue raiser and that things are on the up. And there's been a number of comments made by Damien Schubert was one of them, have indicated that they're underplaying it, but you can tell they're underplaying it. I think they're actually quite happy with the way things are going as far as the pickup in revenue goes. Because let's face it, it's the people that spend the money to buy cartel coins that are generating the increased revenue. I mean, subs are all well and good, and as many of those as you can get are great. But if you can get the subs to start spending a bit of extra money here and there as well, it builds up very, very quickly, because it's a model that works on, if you've ever played an iPad game, that model works. It keeps companies running. So, yeah, the whole cash shop thing, I think we have yet to see the best of the game. I'm very hopeful. Look, I mean, it's all very well looking back, but looking forward to the coming year, I think we're going to see some really good stuff coming through.
Hear, hear. Anything else as far as highlights?
I think I've talked quite enough. All right. I'm stopping now.
That's all good. No, it was good. So we might as well launch straight into continuing on Star Wars The Old Republic. I won't even put the music in because we're well and truly in that topic area now.
Sorry.
No, that's good. It's a flowing podcast. So with last 2 weeks in Star Wars The Old Republic, besides what you've said, I mean, there's been two patches, so 1.6.3 and then 1.6.3a over the weekend, which was a bug fix for 1.63, which was essentially a bunch of bug fixes and some new items on the cartel market, was a key driver of that. Any comments from anyone on play experience post 1.6.3? There's not really that much in there. I suppose the big issue with 1.6.3a was that the Tarrell 5 flashpoint essentially didn't allow people to progress past a particular point, a particular boss, and that's why they had to go in and fix it. But any comments on the patches? It just didn't seem to be that much in them.
I'd quite like the new pod.
Sorry, you go.
No, you go.
I'd love to be able to do Tarrell 5, but the player base is not letting me.
Oh, yeah. Can't get a grip. Yeah. Yep. Simon?
I'm seriously thinking about dropping some coin for the new mount.
Which one's that?
The pod racer.
Racer. Yeah. I quite like it. I'm not been big on the one. What was it? The find a friend or whatever the hell they called it, where you bring a friend into it and you get the one with the. It's like a pod racer, but it's got the pods above you, hanging from it, and your chair hangs from it, which just looked kind of stupid. I'll be honest.
Yeah, it's so handy. At level 10, going at 110% speed was really, really handy. And you get it on all the toons.
Yeah, so I love the count wide stuff. But I'm just disappointed that the Life Day tinsel bomb's been removed from the cartel market.
Oh, didn't you buy it?
I know.
I didn't buy any of that Life Day crap.
No, and I'm being sarcastic. But... Yeah, I mean, I haven't played that much Star Wars The Old Republic the last fortnight, but I'm finally doing, and I'm way behind the times as per usual, I'm finally doing my Datacron runs. So trying to pick up as many of them. So I'm in Alderaan, realising how little of that planet I explored the first time around, following some guides to find these bloody Datacrons.
Oh, how can you not explore everything? I can't leave a planet until I've... got the whole map filled in.
Yeah, I thought I'd done most. I just don't know what. Alderaan in particular, I seem to have totally missed whole areas. So my story quest line must have moved me on without me really looking too closely.
Probably the bonus series.
Yeah. Well, and I'm doing the bonus series now. And yeah, it's only early days. So I think that's where I've missed out. But now I'm seeing it all. So that's good.
Because you leave the planet mid 30s and then. Back on the fleet, they give you a mission to go back around level 40s for the bonus series of the planet. That's probably why.
Yeah, and I never went back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think I explored every nook and cranny with Alderaan, because any planet with the rocky geography like that is ripe for that whole spelunking.
Yeah.
Thing that I like trying to do.
And it is a spectacular planet. I mean...
It is. Yeah. And there's lots of places where you can find holes in the map and just jump off the edge. Tons of them.
Oh, God, yeah. I've found a lot of them by accident looking for these Datacrons. So the other thing was PTS character copy. So we talked last episode about how BioWare are finally getting their act into gear and allowing character copying to the PTS. So if you look in your account settings on swtor.com, you'll see it listed there as an option, but you won't actually be able to do it until, we believe, patch 1.7. And there's no ETA on that I'm aware of, so but it shouldn't be too far off.
No. Well, the PTS isn't live at the moment, but as soon as they've confirmed that as soon as 1.7 basically goes up and the PTS goes live again, it will work.
Yeah.
So that's going to be gold.
And another totally noobish comment. I'm assuming 1.7 will be the last big patch before Rise of the Hutt Cartel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a segue into Rise of the Hutt Cartel. So, again, because I was so caught up with work and life and everything, I didn't realise they'd released a first look video until today, which I had a look at, or 1 minute and 14 seconds of it. And it's just a nice little overview. You get lots of nice scenic shots in it, see a bit of Markheb, you get a hint to the Hutt storyline. I'll start with you, Christy. You had a look at it?
No, that didn't come up in my news feed. Yeah, so
it's on the site. Yeah. I published a post today with the edits embedded on the post. So if anyone,
I was in the country. It, there was no internet.
That's all right. So, all right, bugger you then. Matthew.
Thank you. I'm feeling the love right now. I'm just getting another chocolate biscuit.
McKeb looks really, really good. Just the scenery of McKeb. You know, I was just thinking McKeb's just going to be another bloody Corellia and I'm going to be bored shitless because Corellia was basically just a more open version of Nar Shaddaa and Coruscant. And those planets bored me to bloody tears because it was just corridors. It wasn't a planet. It didn't make me feel like it was a planet.
Yeah.
But McKeb, from the scenery I'm seeing, it looks really, you know, well open, well detailed. And I'm just really looking forward to some of those high rise areas, like some of the scenery where it's very rocky, but you got like a low cloud, so it's like above the clouds on rocks and shit. That stuff looked amazing, and then it looks like it's going to have a lot of different looks, not just like the historical Star Wars kind of archetype of planet where Hoth is snow, Tatooine's desert, this Alderaan's like a foresty jungle with bugs everywhere, and you know, and Endor's bloody got Ewoks. You know, it's not like that. It's It looks like it's got a bit of everything, which I'm glad to see the Star Wars planets going in that direction. Bel Sarbus was kind of like that. You know, 1 minute's snowy, the next minute's got a bit of lava and it's got a bit of forest. So I liked Bel Sarbus. I mean, of course, it dragged on a bit, the story, but it was good to have a bit of different scenery. Instead of, if you're a normal leveler, you level on a planet from 10 levels, and if you constantly, like Hoth, I mean, I love Hoth, it's open as hell, but I have to wear sunglasses, and if you're doing that for more than 10 levels or something, you get kind of bored of the scenery, and that's, you just right, say, stuff this, I want to skip it, you know. But yeah, definitely looking forward to McKeb.
And because the floating, I like the floating waterfalls.
Oh yeah, they look awesome. Yeah. Wonder how they even explain that in the lore. That'll be in a lore update one day. We'll get Ed to talk about them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hovering fountains. Explain it, Ed. Do it now.
Yeah, indeed. Simon, McKeb, or the first look trailer. Did you get a chance to look at it?
I quite like the look of it. I enjoyed seeing the retracting. What is it? Laser bridge. What do you call the bridges that have got a force field for the platform?
Yeah.
Do they have a name?
I'm not entirely sure. I feel bad for not knowing the name of it now.
Okay, so I shall call it Laser Bridge.
Excellent.
Until someone tells me different. It was good to see that coming in again, because obviously that was in the teaser trailer being pulled back with a bunch of presumably Hutt forces on it. I think it looks quite good. It's a good little trailer because it gives you context. So it gives you the voiceover of some senior guy with the Hutt's invasion talking blah blah blah, but you get the counterpoint with the message he's giving makes it all sound very peaceful, you know, be calm, blah 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 blah, but there's all of these really nasty little shots of very fascist activities, and including firing squads.
Mm.
So, which I thought gave a good sense of what it's like also looks like Narkeb's had the crap smacked out of it at some point, because I noticed there's you've got one long shot, and it looks like there's part of the landscape's actually collapsed or is slipping down a slope, because the buildings have on like a 45 degree angle look like they're sliding off of whatever rock face they're on. So it's not the beautiful, but let's face it, false videos we got before the game launched from Blur, which I'd love to see them make a movie one day, because those guys are geniuses. But so it's not as beautiful as those, but it's a lot more honest. And I think it's quite tantalizing just showing, as Matthew said, there's variety in the terrain and just the potential. Hopefully it lives up to it, the potential for active conflict between the Imperial and Republic forces against the Huts. I mean, obviously, it's a three-sided fight. You're not going to get one side teaming up against the other, but maybe, hopefully, there's a little bit of that in there, in that the Imps have to team up with the Huts to beat back the Republic, or vice versa. You know, any combination of that. It's a bit like what I've wrote some time ago about, it would be great if there was a neutral faction, and you could get some three-way fights out of it. And I doubt it's going to happen, but I'd love if there was a little bit of that in there.
I mean, you would have thought that's the way they go, and I know they don't necessarily copy off other MMOs, but I mean, it's a well-known mechanic in MMOs, and taking WoW's the obvious example, where you have the Horde and Alliance versus whatever the threat is, Deathwing, the Scourge in Burning Crusade, whatever it is. So you would have thought they'd progress that way.
It would be kind of cool, but also it, yeah, I mean, we're going the too hard basket, but I would love it if some of the more, you know, obviously you can play to one or other of the polarities with your character, but it'd be great if some of us fence sitters who aren't completely good or completely bad, but just were in the middle somewhere, could, I don't know, team up with the Huts.
Yeah, I like it.
Because I'd love to see some PvP like that. That's PvP I could get interested in.
Yes, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think we can expect it for the expansion, but hopefully no. That's the way it may evolve.
But I can still dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, it looks good. It looks promising.
And, I mean, it's because it's launching in March, so it's not too far away either.
No.
Which is good.
And the good news is, because of the PTS character transfers hopefully working, means that it's going to get properly tested for once.
Like all the other patches that were put on the PTS. Yes.
But the high level stuff couldn't get tested because no one was high level enough.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, at the very least there should be lots of level 50s. You're right, going from 50 to, it's 55, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
how am I going to fit in new skills on my bar?
Oh, just go to the cartel and buy yourself another one. Buy yourself another bar. Perfect.
Yeah.
Can you do that beyond the limit of six? Can you actually get more than six?
I hope not. Who needs a full of bars?
Yeah, I'd worry about how bloated it was becoming if that was the case.
Yeah, it's already like that. If you play a sniper, six bars is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Too many buttons.
And the last bit of Star Wars The Old Republic news was more about one of our, I don't know if we can, well, we are a Star Wars The Old Republic site, but we obviously cover MMOs more broadly. But Darth Haders had a bit of a change in personnel, Simon.
Yeah, it's all a little bit sketchy as to what's going on, because no one's really talking about it. Some clarification has been made on the site. But basically, for about a two-week period just after Christmas, the site went silent. There was no updates, and there's subsequently been no new podcast for anyone who's ever listened to them, and of which there would be quite a few people, I would imagine. Basically, what seems to have happened is in, I think, September 2011, Curse, those of the add-ons for your various games, effectively bought Darth Hater out and made them part of the Curse Network. And what they did was, I think they effectively got the original team, so Justin Lowe and so forth, who were the original owners, operators of it. They formed a company called Hater LLC, a limited liability company, and Curse contracted the running of the site to Hater LLC. It seems what happened is that company, or the contract to operate and maintain the site, was ended, whether it just expired or whether it was terminated in under extraordinary means, I don't know. I don't think anyone does at this point. But effectively, it meant that the company that was running it, that is the original people, were no longer running it. And presumably, and from the sound of it, some sort of offer was made for them to come over and be part of the new operation. But it appears that, for the most part, none of them did. Which led to an uncomfortable transition period of a few weeks and silence and rumours. What appears to have happened now is that they are being run by Curse, exclusively by Curse employees, by at least one fellow who came over from the from Hater, but not one of the senior or the established people. So I don't know whether it's probably a bit harsh to say it took the 7 pieces of, or was it 12 pieces of silver, but obviously he was made an offer that was acceptable and made the move over, but the other guys didn't. So basically the upshot is Darth Hater is no longer being run by the people that set it up, and no one's saying anything, although if you've watched The Republic, which is Gamebreaker's Star Wars The Old Republic show, although Justin's still appearing on there, there is pointedly no mention of Darth Hater at all.
Yeah, it's an interesting setup. I mean, I've just been browsing through the forums, and you know, there were 2 weeks there where people were going, what the hell's going on? And the guy, as you said, that's taken over, just saying, look, I can't say much, but we're just transferring the ability to post new content.
Yeah. And it's sad because, I mean, we've made a transition to try and cover more MMOs just because of the trouble that Star Wars has had and the drop-off of the population. But it's really sad to see one of the really long-standing sites who are, let's face it, pretty intimate with BioWare Austin.
That's one word for it.
Yeah. It's sad to see them go this way because it's another, although the site, Curse is going to maintain the site and try and maintain the level of content that it had previously, it's sad to see that story end like this. I mean, obviously there'd been a drop off in revenue and however much they were paying Hater LLC was clearly exceeding any ad revenue they were getting, so it wasn't a good profit outcome for them, which I can't think of any other reason why they'd do this. Yeah. But still, it's sad. It's effectively seeing another podcast bite the dust.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you're right, it have to be profitability. I mean, Darth Hater went in like a whole bunch of sites, and I included ours in that, assuming that Star Wars The Old Republic was going to be enormous, and although it's starting to build itself back up, it certainly didn't launch the way that a lot of people were expecting, and so I'm assuming their traffic wasn't what it was. But, you know, a lot of us were expecting to be riding a dragon, and we ended up humping a garden hose in a drought. But that's the way life runs, and it's easy for me who was just doing it as a hobby, you know, of an evening. But yeah, you're right, the money that they must have sunk in, and there's no way they wouldn't have sunk in a lot of their own money initially to get this up. It's a real shame to see it not come to something.
Yeah, well, I imagine it's probably a little bit like Time Warner buying AOL. At the time, it probably seemed like a really good deal to Curse. So hopefully the guys that set it up and sold it when things were still looking rosy came out of it okay financially. But, yeah, I mean, Curse has got bills to pay and people to pay as well. So you don't want to see them getting screwed either.
That's right. So anyway, hopefully Darth Vader does continue and Tor Wars is still hanging in there and Corellian Run Radio, I think, still is. And so there's a few around, but it's certainly a much smaller base than what there was.
Although, and obviously a shout out to Utini Cast as well, because they're still doing good work. But there's I've noticed there's another podcast, and I'm not suggesting you listen to them at all, because obviously they can't possibly... Actually, no, I can honestly say...
They have to be better.
Their level of... They're entertaining, but their level of information is probably even below ours.
Is that possible?
But Ye Olde Republic podcast, I think it is. Oh, it's it's done by a bunch of friends, and they're some fun guys. I've had to listen to a couple of their podcasts, but if you're looking for cutting edge information and player tips, probably not of much use to advanced players, but very noob friendly, I think it's fair to say.
So they're direct competition to us, then?
Pretty much.
Bring it on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put a link. I'll look that up and I'll put a link in the show notes to those guys. So I assume they're based out of the US?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. But, maybe they want to pool resources.
That's right. Although pooling two lots of nothing, you still have nothing, but that's fine.
We've got the cool factor, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you do, maybe, Christy.
Yeah, I was going to say we have Christy.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah.
Wait, is that the cool factor or you're the cool factor?
Oh, both.
Both. Absolutely both.
Anyway, he's hoping with Darth Vader. All right, so that'll do for Star Wars The Old Republic. Let's move on to The Secret World. Over the last 2 weeks, I've actually put a bit of time into The Secret World a couple of evenings and have been enjoying it. And before the show, I assessed that the only person putting a little bit of time was Christy. You've done a little bit?
Yeah, I finished my completionist goal. I have now every skill in the inner wheel.
Ooh, well done.
Thank you. I was very, very proud. So now it's like, you know, now I can play the game. And I haven't since.
Oh, that's good. That's all good. You've done better than me as far as you probably understand the setups better, because I just today was playing and bought up my my character sheet and realised that I don't have an auxiliary weapon equipped. Is that a problem? Is that why I'm sucking even more than what I should be?
I don't think you're ready for it.
Because I'm assuming, like anything, your auxiliary weapon does add to your overall stats.
It adds another skill, but it costs a lot. You need to build up to it. You don't just get it.
Yeah, okay. Because I mean, I'm the guy.
You're ready for it, you'll have it.
Because I'm the guy that only went blood magic and then realized, you know, hours and hours in that you had a second skill set you're meant to do. So.
I'm blade and assault rifle at the moment. I think that's kind of like the newbie build, but oh, I love it so much. I've got this cricket bat with spikes on it. But the AoE is just, you got to have the AoE. I'm finding best to have sort of either two separate builds or builds you can switch between. So you have AoE and single target.
Yeah.
But blade and assault rifle go so well because you can use AoE to build up assault rifle resources, and then you can use assault rifle finish off on each individual one. So it's just awesome. Yeah, but yeah.
Pretty much the same for blades and blood magic. That's what I do. You use the blades to build up the whatever it is.
So you can, resources.
Your resources, that's the word. Oh, too many MMOs. They've all got a different terminology.
I thought blood magic was half of Red Hot Chili Peppers' album.
Yeah, that's right. It's not the sugar and the sex.
Yeah.
And I've managed to get, I think I mentioned last episode, I'd started Savage Coast, spent a bit more time there and, found the treehouse, and I'm doing the treehouse line of, what is it called? The League of Monster Slayers quest line at the moment, which is a lot of fun, and love the whole... I've always loved the scenery in this game and loving it particularly at the moment. So still early days, but I'll get there. The only actual news from Secret World I wanted to cover was Joel Bylos, the game director, an expat Australian, has posted an update and detailing two main things. Number one being that they've consolidated their live team for the game into one location in Raleigh in North Carolina in the US, and that obviously has implications for their staffing, so that people do have the option of moving there, but obviously not everyone would want to do that. So they'll be going through some transitions there. Anyone want to discuss this, Simon? I think you said you'd read through it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a number of good reasons why they'd do this. North Carolina has some, the state government there has some very good tax breaks for companies moving their operations there. Apple has taken full advantage of that before they launched the new their revised iCloud service. They spent a lot of money building a new data center there, and in North Carolina, and that I think is one of the reasons why they'd be looking at relocating their whole operation there. Also, part of the issue is, although the Secret World is actually doing really quite well since it went free to play, it's because it's always had the cash shop there, but the free to play, as we've already discussed, has done this game many favors. So the game's fine, but Funcom itself is having some real struggles and some layoffs. So this is obviously part of that. They're looking to, rather than lay people off, move people over to a better corporate tax situation. That would be my read on it anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense. And as you said, it's about a normal transition too. Once you get a game fairly well bedded down, and I've actually just got Joel Bylos is willing to join us here for a minute.
Oh my god!
Talk about it. So I'm just going to bring him in. So just bear with me a second. I'm doing this live, and here he comes.
I'm going to go all fangirly and be like, ha.
I'm going to feel left out.
Hello, mystery guest. Could you reveal yourself?
That doesn't sound like Joel Bylos. Sounds like Mr. Red.
Well,
how are you, Ed?
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, good. Sorry, that was cruel.
That was awful. Yeah, I got my hopes up.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Now you know how his wife feels.
Yeah. Sorry, Ed, I just told the guys that you were Joel Bylos, Secret World's game director, joining us suddenly. So Ed just contacted me on Skype to say he was available, so I just dropped him in. So now, Ed, introductions. You haven't met Christy or Matthew yet. So Ed, Christy, Matthew, Christy, Ed.
Hello.
And we're recording live, and I'm not going to edit any of this out, so we'll keep going.
No. Everyone's going to be laughing at me.
It's all good.
You fell for it.
We're laughing with you. We're not laughing at you. There's a difference.
That's right. And Ed, you're a little bit soft, if you can turn yourself up a little bit, but we'll keep going with the Secret World. So, yeah, that was a game director update. As you said, normal transition. And he talks about issue number 6. Coming up. He doesn't mention a time frame, but given how religiously they've been releasing new content, I can't imagine it's that far off. It's going to be predominantly set in Egypt and sees the player working with the Maria. And see, I'm such a noob, I don't know who the Maria are, against the cultists of Abdel Daoud. So I assume this is all to do with obviously the Egypt storyline.
And so, with issue 6, we also get a surprise gift from the ARG.
Oh, okay.
Mmm.
I hope it's another kitty.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we got the cat, didn't we? So, Secret World, powering along. Maybe I might have got through half of Savage Coast by next fortnight. Matthew, from memory, you haven't played the game, have you?
I did beta.
Oh, that's right.
You did the combat didn't jive with me.
No, that's right. The reticle
combat. Not enough tanks.
That's right. The reticle combat I haven't tried. That's one thing I keep meaning to do because it just doesn't faze me. I'm quite happy with the standard MMO sort of combat, but the reticle stuff, I haven't heard a lot of feedback at all. So.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah. So. We'll have to
Why is my life so busy at the moment? It's not fair. It's getting in the way of my gaming.
I know. So let's move on to Marvel Heroes, which I don't have any music for, so we'll just launch straight into it. It's fair to say, and I'm assuming, Ed, I know, and we're going to talk about your life history over the last 3 months, but I assume you haven't played much games the last few months with being busy working over Christmas, and I'm assuming you aren't definitely involved with the Marvel Heroes beta?
No. The only thing I've been doing recently is the Old Republic.
Yeah, cool. Which we've already covered, but we'll go back. That's fine. Marvel Heroes, it's fair to say, and I'm pretty sure some were allowed to say we're in the closed beta. I'm pretty sure that wasn't in the NDA that we can't disclose we're playing. Yeah, so you're not saying anything, you big wuss. So
normally you can say that you're in the beta.
Yeah, you just can't say what you're doing.
But you can't say anything about the beta.
That's right.
It's more fun just to leave him hanging, though.
Yeah, it's his little sadistic pleasure. So we've both been playing the closed beta. I had the luck to play about half an hour, it was, twice in the past week when the servers were actually open. Rolled myself Ben Grimm as the thing and got into the game, and that's about all I can say about that. My view is it's going to be a fun game, but I'm not sure there's going to be enough in it for me to differentiate it from other similar games that I'm going to stick with it long term, although given I spent $200 on the costume packs, I probably should stick with it for a while.
Yeah, you've sort of nailed your dick to that particular mast.
And you guys almost got me to spend the $200 in the last podcast, but thankfully I got broke.
And I need to emphasize, this is, like anything, it's a personal preference, and I think it is going to do extremely well because from what I've seen, again, without going into detail, is it looks beautiful. The dialogue is great. I can see it's going to get a real following, and I wouldn't be even surprised a lot of, although obviously a whole different universe, but a lot of Diablo 3 players, if there are any left, are going to come across to this because I think it probably offers a superior experience. I'm just not sure whether it's the sort of thing I'll be spending hours every week playing. Simon?
I was just toying with whether just to give you another silence there or not. I think it's going to do very well as well. It's no secret that it's very Diablo or Diablo, however you want to pronounce it. And that's no surprise to anyone who's seen any of the screenshots or any of the footage. I've been really quite impressed with the costume options that are available. Obviously, all of these costume options are not available in beta. They're going to be drip-fed in, but they'll be available at launch. The only character I'm really interested in is Deadpool, and I've been quite delighted with the way they've represented the costumes, not only from the variety, but also they've even included the cover of the issue that costume relates to. So you really get a strong sense that there's some heavy-duty love with the developers.
Yeah.
The IP is going to get treated with respect, and every character that you love in the Marvel Universe is going to be shown appropriate respect. And if for no other reason, I'm really happy I've given them my money.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I don't regret the $200 yet.
Nice conditional.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's going to be actually the opposite to the Star Wars The Old Republic for me, where I had massive expectations of loving it to bits and came off the boil a bit, whereas I think this will be the opposite. I'm not so sure yet, but I think once it launches, I go, yeah, this is a great thing, I think.
Yeah, well, I must admit, I never really played Diablo, and the whole isometric viewpoint thing is taking a bit of getting used to. But let's just say, without breaching any legal agreements, that I think a lot of people are going to find a lot of things to like in this.
Yes, agreed. I mean, as I played Diablo 3 through to the finish, only on normal mode, but I really, really enjoyed it, but I've not gone back to it since.
Mm.
There was nothing to keep me there after I'd finished that, and I'm where I think Marvel Heroes will hopefully make a big difference is that it'll keep people engaged after the storyline, the initial storyline's done.
I think that's a common complaint with D3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody I've talked to has said the exact same thing about Diablo 3. It's a great game with no replay value.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
So there we go. Marvel Heroes looking promising, and I'm sitting on the fence, so we'll hope. And there's still obviously a lot of work to go. You know, there are parts of the game, again, without giving too much details, where it's made very clear that this bit isn't completed, but the actual gameplay looks very polished and very close to finish. There's just some cutscenes and stuff, but yeah, very good. World of Tanks, because we've got our own World of Tanks guru on board, it's more than worth covering where that's up to. So, Matthew, over to you.
World of Tanks. Oh, I think it was a few days ago, maybe a week ago, they launched patch 8.3, which is the new Chinese faction, playable faction's been added due to much wanting from the Asian population that plays the game. They've been really, you know, trying to get it in there. They were going to push it in with patch 8.2, which I wrote an article about, but then they moved it back to 8.3 due to balance issues and instead went with some new American tanks being added in with 8.2. But yeah, 8.3 has come out, lots of new different Chinese vehicles in it. Some of them are basically, like in the earlier starts of the tree, you've got the French tanks, because China at the time didn't build their own tanks, so they'd have French tanks, some American, some even British tanks early on in the tree. So they're just like carbon copies of other tanks that are already in game, but with Chinese symbols on them. And then around the middle of the tree, you get a lot of Russian tanks that the Chinese bought. And then just near, like, say, tier 8 onward, you start to see the Chinese industry shift from using other people's technology to actually creating their own, which is where the Chinese tree starts to get interesting, because a lot of their tanks are like a mixture of a heavy tank and a medium tank put together in one. So they've got the maneuverability and speed of a medium, but with the mixture of almost on equal armor of a heavy tank and firepower. So it's quite an interesting game changer kind of thing, whereas you've got the historically more accurate German heavy tanks, which is all about armor and firepower than maneuverability. And then you go and have a look at the Chinese, it's more, they've got that firepower, but they've also got the speed to it. So they're kind of like dipping their fingers into all three pools, whereas firepower, survivability, maneuverability and shit, you know. Mm. Recently, Australia Day, obviously, was yesterday. They've just added an Australia Day special until the 28th of January, which is tomorrow, I think, where it's three times normal experience, because they've got this thing where it's kind of like a daily, like in World of Warcraft or Star Wars The Old Republic, where your first victory on any one vehicle gets a normal two times experience bonus, which helps you to, you know, it's a thing to bring you back to the game each day. It's like, oh, I might come back and do my two times daily bonus, get extra XP, because it helps you level that much quicker. But this time it's three times experience, so it'll help those, especially newer players, to get through those early tanks and get to the bigger tanks a lot quicker, which is a good thing. And I've been doing that a lot. But yeah, well, Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the World of Tanks is one of those MMOs that every time I read one of your articles, I go, like Chris, you were saying, wish I had more time because I'd love to get into this, but I know if I did, something else in my life would have to give way.
Yeah. Well, it's I'd consider it really open. I mean, it's free to play, so you don't have to smack down money to play it. You can just jump in, have 15 minutes, which is a normal length of a round. That's if everyone's camping. But rounds can range from 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and you just get in, have a bit of fun, competitive PvP, and it's over. And you could do it before work. You could do it after work when you're winding down after work and stuff. And it's good like that. I like it. That's the main reason I play it. It's because it's got the competitive PvP that I used to love in World of Warcraft and I used to love in the Old Republic, but I search for that PvP competitiveness elsewhere because, you know, I still need to fulfill that part of my gaming enjoyment, and I can't get that from those games anymore. So I went with World of Tanks, and just the fact that you just hit the battle button straight away, and a few seconds later you're in a round and you're kicking someone's ass, it's a good feeling.
That is a good feeling. And I know you mentioned before the show that there was something similar as far as kicking people's ass that you were checking out at the moment.
Yes, War Thunder. War Thunder has definitely taken my vision away from World of Tanks in the last month now. I've still been playing World of Tanks, but nowhere near as much as War Thunder. War Thunder is essentially, if you guys have ever heard of IL-2 Sturmovik, it was a flight simulator made by a Russian group a few years back. They've basically made a World of Tanks version, but with planes, using the IL-2 engine that they used to make IL-2 Sturmovik. So it's basically you're flying around in really high detailed planes, but it's like World of Tanks where you start off with World War One planes and you work your way up through the years all the way up to the 1940s, 1950s, where you've got Cold War era jets from America, Russia and Britain and stuff, you know. Well, the Germans are still using their World War II jets, but whatever. It's still fun.
Yeah.
And I've only just recently unlocked my first German jet, which is the Comet, and it is ridiculous because everyone else has got a jet propulsion system, whereas the Comet's like strapping a rocket, a V2 rocket to your back and giving me a machine gun and saying, okay, fly me towards the enemy. And it's really fun.
So, and that's free to play?
That is also free to play, just like World of Tanks. You can also buy premium like in World of Tanks, you could buy premium tanks, yeah, which help you level quicker and earn credits faster. They've also got this in War Thunder. But the reason I'm playing War Thunder is it's more rewarding. Whereas World of Tanks, you've got one life. You go out in your tank, you get shot, you're killed, you've got to go back to the garage, pick another tank. In War Thunder, you can have up to 9 lives in a round, depending on how many planes you equip for a given faction. So at the start of a game, you could go, okay, well, I'm going to spawn as German, and I'm going to have, you know, a Focke-Wulf 190, a Bf 109, you know, the Messerschmitts, and take in some Junkers 87s, which is a Stuka dive bomber. And you've got a few lives, so you go, okay, well, there's enemy fighters that will try and shoot down your bombers at the start of the match, but you've also got ground targets, so it's not just a PvP thing. It's also got the friendly PvE aspect where you could just go, well, at the start of a match, this round, the enemy's got 60 ground targets. You know, they've got a fleet of ships sailing towards our port, and we've got to defend the port on this mission. You've got enemy players who will try and shoot you down, but your objective is to blow up those ground targets or defeat the entire enemy team. So you can do it either way. Like, most of the time in the earlier levels of the game, I was playing a bomber because I was just getting used to how the game works. And you've got tail gunners, which will automatically shoot at them. And it's just quite funny when you've got 3 guys on your tail and you shoot the first guy down with the AI shoots it down while you're trying to blow up targets. And then you watch his corpse of the guy you just shot down slow down the other 2 people behind him, ram into that, and you're taking out 3 guys. It's just funny when you see all this happen. And there's flak shooting all around you. So your screen's shaking because the AA on the ground is shooting at you, trying to bring you down. That's controlled by AI at the moment. Same with tanks and ships.
Yep.
So it's just crazy battles. You know, you got explosions going all around you. You got fighters, enemy players trying to shoot you down, AI trying to kill you. You're trying to drop bombs. It's just intense. More intense than, say, World of Tanks, where you're just sitting behind a bush waiting for enemies to be spotted to shoot them. But the main thing that I'm really looking forward to with War Thunder, especially this year, is they said they will be adding playable tanks to the game. So they're looking to compete against World of Tanks. They're going to have tanks and planes that are playable in the same battles. So you could be flying a bomber. I could be down on the ground in a tank driving around a tiger. And they're also talking about adding Navy as well. So I could be also sailing the KMS, the Kriegsmarine ship, the Bismarck, the German capital ship of World War II, you know, the big one. Could be sailing that around. You could be trying to bomb me down. I could use flak guns against you. It's just, it's going to be an all-in war battle simulator. And I'm just really looking forward to that kind of game.
That sounds effing awesome.
Yep.
And it is. And
where do I give my $200 to?
I feel ashamed to say I've already put down like $300 on the game just because I love it that much. But it's really, really fun when you've got mates who can be flying bombers and you could be in a fighter flying with them, covering them. They could have enemy fighters come for you. You break off, you engage them to keep them covered. Or you could be down on the ground in a ship with your flak guns trying to shoot off enemy Japanese suicide bombers coming in to ram you, and you're just at the guns going bang, 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 bringing them down and stuff. Or you could be driving tanks around, and it's just going to be an all-in-all brawl.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to it. The graphics is amazing too, if you've got a good graphics card. But yeah, free to play, definitely worth trying it out. The game's called War Thunder. Check it out.
I'll put a link in the show notes for that as well. Mm. Thank you, sir. The last thing I had before we get back to wrapping up and Ed, Elder Scrolls Online is obviously due for release. Well, I'm assuming it's this year. I've done it, but we're in beta, so it must be. I believe two of the people on this podcast at least have signed up for the beta. Could you please verbally put your hand up? So Matthew, yeah. It was Christy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
And me.
Oh, three. There you go.
Just beware of arrows to the knee.
Yeah. I always am, my friend. I wonder
if you get an arrow to the knee if you have to sort of log off and never log in again. And your character just becomes a mob that walks around and complains about getting an arrow in the knee.
See, that's all got over the top of my head, and we're probably running out of time for it to be explained, so let's not bother.
That's my guild name. Arrow to the knee. Join my guild.
Someone's going to get banned already.
Oh, dear. I'm such the noob. All right, so Elder Scrolls Online, three of you in beta. I just want to put out a quick call. Anyone out there that's interested in covering Elder Scrolls Online, have had a passion for writing, would like to have a column or something, please drop us a line via the site's contact form, because I think it's fair to say it is going to be a big game. Bigger than Star Wars The Old Republic.
Or it's going to be a horrible disappointment and failure.
Like Star Wars The Old Republic.
I didn't say that.
I don't have high expectations for the game.
That. Yes, the game has problems. Yes, there are a whole bunch of frickin' noobs in with free-to-play. Yes, there are cheaters and hackers galore in PvP. Yes, there are things that are a problem. But it is a Star Wars game. I'm sorry. I will keep playing until they close the servers.
I know you will. And we also did talk earlier that we have great hopes and we're actually quite optimistic. So yes. It's all good.
I wouldn't have bought the damn expansion and wouldn't still be subbing if I didn't still believe.
That's right.
Have any of you guys played the new Heroic Space Missions?
Yes.
What did you think?
I had to buy grade 7 parts with real life money to damn well get them done. That pissed me off. I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah, that was. Although I finally broke down and. Actually spend a whole bunch of daily comms from my main onto my smuggler to get him the schematics for it. Mm. And then I realized, oh, you need molecular stabilizers and synthetic energy matrices, which are the rarest crafting material in the game to make each one of these. Oh, and you need 6 of each.
They're very expensive.
Arrgh. Yeah, but here's hoping that they change the requirements so... I still love the game. I still truly enjoy playing most of the game. I have lost my temper with more noobs in the last 3 days than in the rest of the time that I've been playing the game put together. Let me tell you a little story. I was in Explosive Conflict, which is the high-end operation, one of the second highest-end operation. Now, Terror from Beyond is the highest so far. And, you know, I'm running around. I'm playing a commando, DPS commando, you know, shooting things with my big frickin' gun. And everything is good, except that the tank is not holding aggro. So all the bad guys target me, and I'm taking damage. No problem. Except the healer is not healing me.
Oh, shit.
So I'm sitting there, shooting the bad guy as I'm supposed to, and I'm, you know, dumping my aggro every so often, using my aggro dump, and I'm not getting any healing whatsoever. So I'm starting to heal myself. And everybody says, you know, why aren't you DPSing? Why aren't you DPSing? I'm healing myself because nobody is healing me. You know, why are you running away? Because the tank is not holding aggro off of me. What am I supposed to do? I don't have the armor to protect myself. You know, it's kind of like in World of Tanks. If you have a tank destroyer and everybody suddenly focuses on you, or even better, if your artillery is self-propelled gun, what's everybody on the other team going to do if they see you?
Straight away.
They're going to blow you off the map. So, you know, I'm running around, and then all of a sudden, you know, we wipe on Toth and Zorn in story mode. That's a first.
Ouch.
It's probably because the healer's like me. Like, I'm leveling up a healer to 90 in World of Warcraft, and I suck. I can barely cope with healing the tank, let alone anyone else.
Yeah, but if I had some healing, any healing, I could take Zorn down myself. I've done it in nightmare mode, for God's sakes. And then the weebuses say, you know, it's your fault. Because you're shooting them, and you're, you know, the tank is pulling Zorn out of my range, so then the tank is pulling Zorn into the range, so then I get the debuff that's called Fearful, and then every time I shoot Zorn, I take damage. Well, then it's my fault that I wasn't staying far enough away from him. At which point, I basically told that group what they could do with themselves. I put all of the people in the group on my ignore list, and I'm never doing that with a pickup group again.
See, they're the reports from the front that we've missed.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed some of the Old Republic, and I've enjoyed getting back into it because my life has been totally screwed up. You know, had to leave where I lived for the last 4 or 5 years. And now I'm living in a half duplex in South Carolina, of all places. Still looking for a job because South Carolina is still stuck in the dark ages.
If you go to North Carolina, you can get a job with Funcom.
I've actually looked into that, to tell you the truth. See? Because in South Carolina, let me give you another example. In South Carolina, you have to have a Social Security card, a card saying you are who you say you are, to get a driver's license. I went to the Social Security office to get a Social Security card, and they said, "Oh, sure, show us your driver's license."
why do I hear that banjo from Deliverance?
Yeah, I'm just like, So I have been sitting on my butt playing Star Wars The Old Republic for the last 2 weeks.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to have to wrap it up. We're going to have to wrap it up pretty soon, mate, because we're about to hit a 90-minute podcast.
Whoa.
So epic. Before I do a wrap-up, anything else anyone wants to add? No?
Me.
No time.
No, that's... No, I'm not that.
I was going to say I can blabber on if you want, but no. I don't.
Oh,
think
we
you
could
want
talk
that
for hours.
The problem is, would anyone want to listen us for hours?
Well, I'd say probably 100%.
I resemble that remark, sir.
I can't even listen to my own voice.
No, Ed, when you listen back to this, you'll see that you got a thank you at the start of the podcast, and a particular thank you for your ability to polarize audiences and divide them up into half people that love you and the other half people that want to take pitchforks to you. So that was the context in which I thanked you. and that you were here from episode one, which is no mean feat.
Yeah, life has been totally screwed up since my mom passed away, and I'm still trying to make sense of things, and don't know if I'm going to be able to. Don't know if I'm going to be able to come back again, but it's good to talk with all.
Well,
with you.
Let's think of you as a roving co-host that drops in when he can.
I am the lone co-host, and now I will ride off into the sunset.
You're a good man, Ed Wilson. And it's really good that you did join us for episode 50, because back in March 2011, I said you were the other silly bugger that started this thing. So it's great to have you.
I resent that, sir. I am not a silly bugger. I am the silly bugger. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no disagreement from this quarter.
That's right. So thanks, everyone. Thank you for listening. It's been a long one this week. We'll be back in a fortnight, maybe with Joel Bottas next time, Christy.
Oh, yay! I love
the hell was that?
Yeah, it was just great timing. I couldn't resist. Sorry, I'm evil.
I'm sorry to burst your bubble at all, but I've missed doing these, and there's so many things that are so screwed up in my life right now that I just need some time to laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And believe it or not, we did have a request for that, so I forgot who it was.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'll do it again.
No.
Well, at least we didn't start singing, I guess.
The many tights.
David, wrap this thing up quick.
All right, we're going. If you'd like thank you, Matthew, for joining us again. I think if you're happy to put up with us, I think we're going to get you on every few episodes, because you also bring a lot of value and we love having you on.
Value for money.
Yeah, for the huge pay we all get.
Yep.
So if you'd like to give us feedback on the podcast, contact at oceanicgamer.com. I know I mention every week, but we'd really love if you could give us a rating on iTunes if you use that as your platform for the podcast. It really does help us get people out there. So we got close to, we've got many hundreds, I'll say that, of listeners, and we'd love to build on that, particularly now Darth Vader's carked it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's
very
right.
Nice.
Very subtle.
They'll all go to Tour Wars, and so they should, because that's a good podcast. Facebook.com/Oceanic Gamer, and same for Twitter, twitter.com/Oceanic Gamer. And I think that, and most importantly, virtualdropbears.com, Christy, your website?
Oh, well, I've kind of reinvented the blog again. So it's not actually really a gaming blog anymore.
Oh,
but I do the Twitter now.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I'm all up with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and what's your Twitter handle? I've forgotten which one it is.
It's Virtual Drop Bear.
That's right. It is true. And Simon's, who's got one of the best Twitter handles I've come across, is RPG Beats RL.
And I stand by that.
Yeah, I bloody agree with you, mate. So thank you yet again. And I'm going to cut it off right here before Ed does a laugh. Bye. Oh, you were meant to say bye quickly.
Bye.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you need to discuss these things.
It's this tightly scripted podcast we have.
You're not gonna let me do my
I'll quick stop recording. Stop recording!
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.